I've known plenty of people who have passed away now. The longer I lived, it doesn't get any easier. At the end of April, we'll be going down to San Antonio to have the memorial service for my dad. He lived to the age of 90. The oldest one I've done a funeral for was 102. The oldest one I knew was 106. Met her when I was in high school. She lived across the street from the church. Itty bitty person. And when she was legally blind, and when she got to the double doors of the church, like our narthex doors, the kids just came and swarm around her. Her name was Mrs. Carpland. And they would take her to her spot in the pew. Y'all know what that means, right? No one else sits there. And you could just see the love and the care of the kids. And they made sure she had her hymnal and the bulletin and, you know, the two sacred objects of the church, right? And then they would go back to their parents. And she would sit there and just smile. Well, she wasn't 106 at that time. She lived for quite a while after I left and went to college and all. And then years later, she too was called to her eternal home. It's hard to speak about death. The only thing that makes it easy is the times of love that we shared in on our journey that I cannot help but grin when I think of her and those children. But it's hard to think of death. Lazarus' resurrection is not a message about that. It's no longer sorrow, or there should be no tears. Jesus Christ himself wept. But in this chapter, we get a glimpse, if you will, it's a foretaste of what's going to happen on Calvary. In this chapter, we get a view of why it is we can cry, as Thessalonians say, but with hope. How it is we are to view death? And the answer is, it's how we view Jesus. Jesus tells them, I am the life and the resurrection. Says, everyone who believes in me, even though they die, they shall live. Jesus reminds us of this great promise that God has given, but it's more than just a promise about the future. It's a promise that's granted in the present. You know how it is when you hear good news and you can't wait for its fulfillment? I was talking to a student who's a senior in high school, and I was remembering that when I was a senior in high school, do y'all remember what's called the senior blues? You can't wait till you're graduated. Well, then I went to college, and that last year of college was even tougher than the last year of high school. We got the blues all over. And then as Pastor Tracy Nelson can tell you, when you get to your fourth year of seminary, high school blues and college blues was nothing. We'd been in school 8 years, 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary. Man, did we have the blues. And the idea is the professors kept saying, you will get through this. And what we begin to think is that some things are so far away, they will never happen. In John chapter 11, what we are reminded is that something has already happened. It's not a waiting game. It's not that awful word called patience, you know. It is the message of the gospel that in Christ, as Jesus says, I am the resurrection. It's not I will be the resurrection, or I'm thinking about thinking about resurrection. You know the southern word fixin'? You know, Jesus is not up and coming resurrection. Christian. Like, at some point, I'm going to get to this, and I'm going to fulfill this, and then you'll really get something. He says, in the present language, in the present tense, I am the resurrection. And believing in him, you receive that resurrection. You have now new life in Christ. The old Adam was drowned. We are connected in the water and the word of our baptism. The old, that only has power in the sense that it is in the one who is the resurrection, the one who is the life. And so Jesus is telling the ladies right there, even as they grieve, that they have life. And Lazarus, who believed, he has life. And he says, do you believe this? And then he shows the ramifications of that faith and the fact that it's faith in him who raises from the dead, who went to the cross. But death and sin and hell and the devil has no power over him. And so Lazarus is called out of the tomb. And again, God is glorified. New life is revealed. The power of life in the one who is the resurrection and the life. That life is revealed. Now, what we often forget is Lazarus does die again. But the message of that tomb being empty is a pointer, if you will. He says, you've seen this? Wait till you see that on Calvary and in the garden tomb. Wait till you see that. Because it's not the voice of Jesus calling Lazarus out. It is God in Christ being raised from the dead. Christ comes out of the tomb, not by the call of man, but by the very power of God. You know, there's a lot of things we just can't do as humans. There's a lot of things at my age I just shouldn't try. You know, skateboarding is out for me now. But when it comes to death, sometimes we are hopeless and helpless because we have forgotten the one who has power. And the one who has victory. For all who believe, the Bible says and makes it clear, even though you die, you shall live. And therefore, there are times the Bible calls death sleep. It's no different than in the sense of asleep in Christ that you go to bed and you get up the next morning. Although I do realize that from the time that Jesus comes till the time that someone had passed away, it may be years, maybe hundreds of years. But the promise is still the same, that all who believe live. And so upon our death, our soul goes to heaven. Our body is laid to rest in some place, some fashion, and some form. And when Christ comes, the body and the soul will be united. It will be a glorified body. I'm looking forward to that day, are you? But it begins already now. Your life, your new life in Christ, is already the start of eternal life. When we face illness and we face difficulties and we face health crises and we face the loss of our friends who believe, we don't have to fear death. We don't like it. It was never meant for us to like it. But we do not have to be afraid. So the same question that Jesus asked the ladies is the question that, you know, pastors ask the people of God today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? And do you believe that all who believe in him, even though they die, yet they shall live? For Gwen and I, this has been most relevant, most current with our daughter Megan's health. She's going to have more tests this week. The tumor's growing. It's been labeled inoperable. These words of God are not meant just for nice preachy messages to help us to feel good and celebrate and all of that. It is to sustain us. It is to strengthen us. It is to give us the power of God to endure the things of this world, because this world is not all there is. It is a reminder that there is a victory. There is a hope. There is a power that things of this world cannot stop, cannot take away, cannot hinder, and in God's timing shall be granted to all who believe. It's easy when life is great, isn't it? It's easy when you really feel good. But it's not so easy when the body aches. Or I'll tell you, when the heart hurts. But that's what this lesson is about. Mary and Martha were hurting. And Jesus is telling them, it will be okay. And to all the times that we have ever grieved in the past, and whatever will come our way, the message of the scriptures has not changed. It will be okay. Why? Because the name of Jesus isn't just a name. It's the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, everything is subdued. Everything is subjected. And Christ wins. He wins us to himself. And he wins over death and illness and the devil. It's a pretty good message, isn't it? When he asked, do you believe this? It wasn't kind of a rhetorical question. It was to invoke the faith in the believer to hold on to the promise of God. And then at that moment, Lazarus was called out that day to show that the faith and the Christ and the life and the resurrection is real. Lazarus came out. And in a sense, every day that we live in Christ, we come out of despair. We come out of hopelessness. We come out of that sense of loss. We come out in the grasp and in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus for you and I means life and resurrection. It doesn't mean I banged my thumb with a hammer and I'm going, oh, Jesus. It means that to the glory of God, we live now and for all eternity. Amen.